Blog Talk Radio.
Legendary status. Big XL. Sam Pisa, a.k.a. T.F. Where y'all gonna learn, man? You can't stop what's inevitable. It's the incredible. PZ, a.k.a. T.F. dropping jewels, but they edible. I ate my vegetables, but he ate my spinach. Riding with Vic again, so no, we ain't finished. Legendary status, so no, you cannot copy. Riding dirty radio, so crispy, y'all so sloppy. Answer to the street, so we know just what is needed. But keep it underground, staying down, cause we ain't greedy. This is where you find what is popping for the culture. Where we keeping it all fresh and stay away from all the vultures. No, scavengers here, just keeping it real. Big got it out the mud, but it's still so clear. So sit back, relax, and just let us lead you. If you're trolling for no reason, then we don't need you. It's Big XL, he can't be stopped. Riding dirty forever, the home of real hip-hop. Legendary status, Big XL, Sam Pisa, a.k.a. T.F. Where y'all gonna learn, man? You can't stop what's inevitable, it's the incredible. PZ, a.k.a. T.F. dropping jewels, but they edible. I ate my vegetables, but he ate my spinach. Riding with Vic again, so no, we ain't finished. Legendary status, so no, you cannot copy. Riding dirty radio, so crispy, y'all so sloppy. Answer to the street, so we know just what is needed. Been underground, staying down, cause we ain't greedy. This is where you find what is popping for the culture. Where we keeping it all fresh and stay away from all the vultures. No, scavengers here, just keeping it real. Big got it out the mud, but it's still so clear. So sit back, relax, and just let us lead you. If you scroll.
What up, world? It's your boy, Vic XL. This is Ryan Dirty Show, where we bridge the gap between hip hop in everyday life, man. Before we get into it, I gotta say one time for the good people over at WRFG 89.3 FM Atlanta. You can check us out every Thursday night, Friday morning from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Again, that's every Thursday night, Friday morning from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. You can definitely check us out. Also, one time for the good people over at Ride 95, our internet radio home. Check us out every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, got to say one time for all the streaming platforms that carry all our broadcasts, all our interviews, all right? Spotify, Mixcloud, Facebook, iTunes, everywhere that carries all broadcasts. My mind went blank. SoundCloud. Man, we are everywhere. Go to your favorite streaming platform, type in Riding Dirty Radio, and we will pop up, and you can check out all our latest and greatest interviews with some of the hottest movers and shakers in the culture. All right? Make sure you check us out. Go to all our pages. Make sure you subscribe up. That way you'll be aware and notified whenever we drop brand new content. All right. Last but not least, now y'all make sure y'all please follow me on all social media networks, all social media platforms. That's Instagram, that's TikTok, that's Facebook, that's Twitter at Riding Dirty Radio. All right. Please do that for your bizoy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, today is no different than any other day or any other evening on the Riding Dirty platform. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the show. Author, Lynn Wood Jackson Jr. How you doing, my guy?
What's going on? Thank you for having me.
Man, I'm very, 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 very honored to have you on the show. I always like to start my interviews off by saying it's an honor and a pleasure to have you here to introduce you to our family, the followers and supporters of this broadcast.
It's an honor for me to be here, too. I'm thankful for you to giving me a chance to even speak my piece. and to reach more of your family.
Okay, so let's get into it. Linwood Jackson Jr., author, poet, philosopher, where are you from?
Boston, Massachusetts, heart of Boston.
Okay, the first thing I gotta ask you, are you a Boston Celtics fan?
I can say no, I wasn't raised on the Celtics. I was raised on the Lakers. So whoever's here, if they're hating on that.
Thank you. Listen,
okay.
Man, I'm a huge Laker fan, not of what we got going on right now, but I'm a huge Laker fan, and I grew up on those Magic Johnson, Larry Bird classic matchups, and yeah, man. I don't know. I just something about a Boston Celtics fan, it just gets under my skin.
It's crazy. I got to see Kobe play actually 2011 for my birthday. So that was something
Ooh.
Special. Yeah.
I can imagine.
At the Garden, yeah.
I can imagine. All right, so what was it like for you growing up in Boston? What was it like growing up in Boston, and what was the household and family life like for you?
Man, it was culture. It was culture. I grew up in a culture of not really political or religious, but just of thoughtful. So I had my grandpa's wife. She grew up back in the day when Malcolm X was getting his haircut in Roxbury. She would see him pass through. So I spent my time, you know, with my grandpa getting wisdom, and then households. I spent time writing poetry on my own, just realizing that society really wasn't what it was cut out to be. Even at a young age, I could see that. So I just started writing poetry, and that grew. So my childhood was writing and discovering what was in me.
No doubt. All right, so when did you discover your talent for, first of all, let's start with being a poet. When did the poetry and the poet side of Linwood kick in?
7 years old. That happened at 7 years old. I promise you, just growing up in the lifestyle of an African American, and then seeing that there's a lifestyle out there for you, and then you have parents that are telling you about this lifestyle, but they're not even able to give it to you. So then you just have a vision and a dream that you're aiming for, but you're seeing that your reality is different and you might not end up in that dream. That forces you into a form of expression to where you need to define who you are, because that dream, that's not you. And that reality society has carved out for you, it's a nightmare instead of a dream, especially when you put the pieces together of what's really going on out there. So at 7 years old, as I was just that young, I just knew something was wrong with me, with something that was out there, and that got me going. So that's how that poetry started, that piece.
Okay, now, as a poet, did you ever compete in slams, or was everything you're doing just written?
Everything, I never got a chance to do slam poetry, but I would have loved to. Everything I did was written until I got published in 2020. I got published prior to that, actually, for a college magazine. I can't remember the name of it, but my poetry got published in that magazine. And then fast forward years later, I got my first poetry book called Gross, published in 2020.
You said it was called Growth or Gross?
Gross.
Okay, now, what type of poems did you have in there, and what was it like getting published?
The poetry is different. It's love poetry, and it's love poetry from the perspective of male and female. But the male and female, the male is my mind, and the female is my heart. So the poems that are in there, they're poems showing how the conflict of marriage between male and female is, but the marriage is actually the marriage between the heart and the mind. And that was an experience that I felt was necessary, you know, as a youth. I put that into writing. I began writing that when I was 19 and then ended up, you know, publishing that some years later. But getting published, was an experience in and of its own self, and it was a journey of its own self. My main focus is philosophy, religious philosophy. I study the Bible from the language and the context and make sense of the philosophy that is within it, not in the sense of what is Christian, but in the sense of what is Bible. And so tossing my manuscripts to different publishers that, you know, my content is in-depth and they didn't want to, you know, get into that. So just going from publisher and, to different publisher until finally settling on one that saw the genius and that allowed me to be able to prosper. And since then, I've just been flowing.
Okay. 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 So you actually have a book out now. Well, you know what? Let's rewind. When did you decide to move, not necessarily from poetry to being an author, but when did you decide to take your philosophy and take it to manuscript and become a published author?
When I graduated college and I found out that I graduated as an educated dummy, the training really didn't do anything for me as a human being and stepping out into society. I didn't really have any kind of hold on how to use that degree. That's when I really sat down and put the poetry into paragraphs, and those paragraphs into chapters, and those chapters into a philosophy that I knew that if I was going through that and if I was writing it, then there's somebody out there worse than me that could benefit from what I'm going through. And so it was that transition of me realizing that I need help within myself and that also I can benefit somebody going through something similar to myself, but maybe worse or maybe even better. I can benefit them. That's where that transition came in. Not be selfish with my own struggle, with my own conflict, to let somebody else know that they're not alone in their own struggle and in their own conflict.
Okay, now when you talk about struggle and conflicts, what were some of the struggles and conflicts that you went through?
Just of being a human being. Of being a human being in society. Being a human being, you go through the institutional, educational institutional system, and you forget that you are a human being, and you're constantly reminded that you are a number or that you are a grade or that you are a code. And then when you actually put these pieces together for what the material the life consists of, and then when you take into the consideration that you're a human being going through this experience, none of it makes sense. And that's what the conflict and the struggle is just making sense of the nothing that makes sense, to where you can find your niche, to where you can find your genre. You can understand that you're an author, you're a sculptor, you're an artist, you're a musician, you're an actress, you're a mother, you're a teacher. Being able to weigh and balance yourself while also weighing and balance yourself as a human being, and then understanding that you are not a human being because you don't have the rationality of a human being, which is empathy, which is kindness. So that whole transition and that whole conflict of relearning the education trained, forced, and then learning the education of nature and then of the living God and the Creator, that's the conflict.
Okay. All right. Now, what helped you most get through this process to deal with that conflict and those emotions?
It was what I learned, and what I learned, I put into my first book, which is called Perfecting and Reforming Personal Religion. And Perfecting and Reforming Personal Religion, I discovered that we're traditionally taught that religion is community-based. You go to church for a feeling, and then when you feel good, that means you're blessed and you're feeling right. But the philosophy within the Bible is individual-based. It's individual-based for the individual heart and for the individual mind, so that when the heart and mind is married and is fine, we can then enter into a group, and our character can nourish that group the way that it's supposed to. So I dealt with that conflict by realizing that within myself is a soul temple, is a temple, is a temple within myself that has to be fed wisdom, and I am the priest of the feeding of that temple. So learning how to handle that, I learned how to handle my natural life, and the conflict was resolved, because what is within transcribes or translates to what is without. And if you can manage what is within, what is without isn't a challenge.
Right. Now, how was it bringing these thoughts to words? Like, what was the publishing process like for you? Because I got a lot of people who listen, you know, to the replays or listen live who are thinking about getting into publishing. What was the publishing process like for you?
Editing. So you can have all of your thoughts. You can have all of the thoughts in the world, but to fine-tune those thoughts, and to fine-tune those thoughts that stays with your identity. I've had to let go of so many managements, so many marketing management, or so many managers because of the identity they wanted me to claim so that I could reach the people that I didn't honestly know I would want to reach, but for the sake of a paycheck. So when you're an author, when you're publishing, your passion gets turned into a business. And then that's when the struggle gets even further in a human sense or in a mindful sense, is because you can make money, but at the same time, you can give minds and consciences wealth. And so as an author, putting your thoughts onto paper, the process of editing is a process of where you can maintain your own personal identity, and to where your tribe, the tribe of your listeners, the tribe of those that connect with you, can identify you and themselves through you. So it's that process of editing, I would say, is the most important part of that getting words on the paper, because once you put those words down and somebody else reads them, their landscape can change completely. And for me, it's important that my identity is found within everything that I write, with everything that I say, so that whoever comes across me, they can understand that I'm not a fake. I've gone through the things that I'm saying I've gone through. I have been blacklisted from secular shows and from religious shows, TV and radio and podcasts, because of my identity. But then I've also been able to have my own television show through all of that struggle because of my own identity. So the struggle of the author, of the writer, is in the moment, and it pans out and it works out. The more that you can perfect your identity through your writing so that your tribe can support you in time to come.
Okay. Now, you mentioned a television show. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay. Justification. The show is called Justification. It airs 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm in Massachusetts, but the television station is in Georgia. So
okay.
I film in Massachusetts, and I send what I film to the television station. The station is called Preach the Word Worldwide Network, or Preach the Word Network. They air my show, and it is a show called Justification that is about what it means to be delivered or to be saved according to the Bible. So taking the Christian context, and I'm taking then the Hebrew context, and I'm looking at the philosophy that the Bible gives it, and I'm letting my audience know that the most important thing that they can do for their human being is to take into consideration their beliefs, thoughts, and feelings, and to make sure that their beliefs, thoughts, and feelings are having the voice that it needs to have and are not being suppressed by the religious rituals and such that we put it through. So the show is just about allowing my viewer to take a greater control or a greater experience of their devotional experience so that they can then let it go, actually just let it go to the Creator, have enough confidence to let it go and to let the Creator in life itself nourish the understanding that they need to maintain their faith without having to wear something around their neck, without having to look at a picture of something on their wall, it's written within the heart. And once it's written within the heart, then that's just the point of the philosophy, which is Emmanuel. I'm now talking about in my show the concept of Emmanuel. Emmanuel is a Hebrew word that means God with us, but in the Hebrew, that word with means within. So Emmanuel means God within us. And so I'm breaking down the concept of what this means, and basically it's just an experience where the Creator has the opportunity to work within our conversations, thoughts, and feelings perfectly.
Okay. All right. What is the response? What response do you get from your television show, especially with it being you in Massachusetts and it airs in Georgia? But we do have the World Wide Web. But what's the response like? And what's it like being able to weekly produce something that can be so enriching for people?
Every week it's, of course there's a struggle to it, but that's just the part of the experience. Every week putting together something, putting together new thoughts. I'm actually influenced by the people that do reach out to me by email, or that sometimes would leave me voicemails or send me random text messages from however they find my phone number. They're the ones that inspire my show, and putting what I talk about, the dialogue, I put that together for them because the response has been positive. I don't talk traditional theological talk. I talk Bible, and I put real life to Bible, and I make the philosophy within the Bible understandable. Even though it's complicated at times, I simplify it in a way that's reasonable and able to be understood, so that whoever is hearing it, they can put it into their own life, or they can take their own private time to see if it's true or not. They can do what they need to do with it, but it's put in a way that's sufficient for them. And the response has been, like, great. I've recently started getting emails from different people just leaving comments, and I've been taking the time to have a little segment on there where I read the comments of certain emails that are sent to me, just to show the listeners that we're all in the same, you know, we're all doing the same thing, we're all learning the same thing, and we're all encouraging one another. So it's been positive, the response.
Okay, now you mentioned being blacklisted. Why do you feel you've been blacklisted?
Oh, man. My content, it's your identity is what gets you sometimes accepted and sometimes not accepted. You go onto these shows and you're told you can't say this, you can't say that. If you say this, you have to say it like that. If you don't say this, you can say it, but you can't say it like that. And then if you're shown, you can't wear that. You have to, you know, be in this way, or, but a lot of the times, you know, I'm Google certified. I'm all over Google, and most of the times these shows do research on you, and if they don't agree with what you're saying, then they'll throw you to the side, and then somebody that may be needing something that you're saying is not going to be valuable enough to you because you're not following the narrative of their script. That's something I've been told. For example, I was supposed to be on a BBC news show, and I was told that because I don't follow the narrative, that as much as I may be able to get on, I can't speak because I don't follow the narrative. So when you don't follow the narrative, when you're speaking fact that is not fact to the industry, and that is taking away the heart of their fact, well, then you get mistreated, and then you get set aside as if you're crazy, or as if what you're saying isn't traditional, so you need to stay away from it. But no matter how deep your identity goes, how genuine your consistency is, the Creator will pave a way for you to rise and to rise above and to be able to look at whoever set you aside, and you'll be able to, and they will be able to see, I'm sorry, your value, which has happened for me.
Okay. I have a question. When I was thumbing through your Instagram, I noticed there's a lot of pictures of you with the bandana tied in the manner Tupac tied his bandana. Is there any reason for that?
I just think it's style. I just think it's style. I love the style. Like I love that style. Right now my hair is styled in dreadlocks. You know, dreadlocks shaved to the side and to the back, but dreadlocks on top. To me it's about style. I'm not a fashion person. I don't really like fashion, but when I see something that looks right, I want to make it my own, and I want to rock it, represent it, and you know that's just what I do. It to me it just means it's just style. I just see it as style.
Okay. I also noticed when I was thrumming through your Instagram, there were some shots of you, like in the studio, and it said therapy. Are you also a songwriter?
I am, yeah, it's crazy. I am, yeah. I have two albums out, and I just released my second album in September. So yeah, music is my therapy. My name, you could find me on Spotify or Pandora or wherever. It's Ljack, Ljack, Ljack. Yeah, that's my music. I do pretty much everything. I feel like it's hip-hop, but at the same time I mix it with hip-hop, jazz, rock, classical. I like music, and I think it has been my therapy since my beginning, along with poetry. So I was raised up writing music and poetry at the same time.
Okay. Now, I have to ask, do you have a separate Instagram for the musical side of you, or...?
No, I don't. I don't. I'm not. I don't.
But you don't even mention it. You don't even mention it. And I found your page, and you don't mention the music. Why don't you mention the music? You mentioned being an author, public speaker, philosopher, function of wellness, but you don't mention Ljack.
I promise you I have a Facebook page of Ljack, but the Instagram page, I'm so not a social media person. So like that,
okay.
My publishing company is the reason that got me the Instagram and my Facebook for my books and for my public speaking. But for me personally, I put my music on my Instagram sometimes, but I have a Facebook page, Ljack Music, a Facebook page.
Okay.
But the Instagram might be coming. I'm just so not a social media person.
Manwood, you have 21,000 followers. What are you talking about?
I hear that, but man, I wish they would talk to me more. All they do is just look. That's why I don't, you know, why you just looking? Just say something more. Don't just look like I'm. It's crazy on there.
Well, look, Mr. Jackson, I definitely appreciate you coming on the show. Our time is about up. But before I do let you go, let them know that Instagram page. Let them know your publications and where to find them. And let them know where to find that Ljack music.
Yeah, you know, my website, you can go to my website, LinwoodJacksonJr.com. That's LIN, Linwood Jackson Jr., JR, LinwoodJacksonJr.com. If you go to my website, I actually have my music on my website. So you can scroll through my website. You can see my books. I have a book page on my website, a blog page. My music is there. My Facebook is there. Other than that, you can find my music on YouTube, Spotify, Pandora, all over. Just type Ljack into Spotify or Google. I'll pop up. type Linwood Jackson Jr. into Google, into YouTube, I'll pop up. I'm everywhere. You can check my TV show, 11:30 a.m. Wednesday, Eastern Standard Time, on the Preach the Word Network. You could download the app, or you can go to the official website. So, you know, you can find me. I am everywhere.
All right. Last thing, let them know the name of the publication. That way, when they do go to Amazon, they'll know what they're looking for.
You could go to Amazon, type in Justification Linwood. If you type in Justification Linwood, you'll see my books. Even if you Google my name, you'll see all 8 of my books pop up. But Justification is the main one right now. That's the one, Encouraging Human and Devotional Growth and Development. Also, my music, L-Jack, Self-Esteem, is the name of my my first album. Self-Esteem Chapter 2 is the name of my second album. Type that into Google. You could type that into Amazon, L-Jack and Amazon, and I'll pop up.
All right. Linwood Jackson Jr., it's been an honor and pleasure to have you on the show.
It's been an honor and pleasure just being here. Thank you for making time for me.
All right, man. You have a wonderful night.
Thank you. Take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that's author, musician, poet, Mr. Linwood Jackson. Y'all make sure y'all visit LinwoodJacksonJr.com, find out about the books, find out about the music, and just get abreast with this wonderful, talented gentleman. All right, it's your boy, Big XL, Ryan Nerdy Radio. We'll talk to you guys next time. Peace.